Welcome to Anxious Like You, a podcast hosted by Micheline Maloof and Nadia Adesi, two therapists who are anxious like you. In each episode, Micheline and Nadia dive into their guests' experience with anxiety and give you the tools you need to face your anxiety head on. This podcast is made in collaboration with DiveThru, a mental wellness company.
On today's episode, we're going to talk about a very important topic, a highly requested topic, how to ask your parents for help. And at the end, we're also going to talk about how to support your child if they do come to you for help. So we're going to help you through asking supporting parents if you think your parents will be supportive. And then we're also going to give you tips and help you if you believe that your parents may not respond to the question for help in a positive way as well. So let's dive in.
Just to start, let's start with validating some feelings. Asking for help in any way is never easy. So if you're feeling like really scared to do it, you don't know what to say, you don't know how to do it, you don't know what the response is going to be, maybe you keep pushing it and telling yourself, I'm going to do it tomorrow, I'm going to do it tomorrow. It's completely normal and common. It is not easy to ask for help, and you are not alone.
Yeah, it can be really hard. It can take a lot of courage and preparation, which is what we're going to talk about today and help you prepare to make the conversation flow as smoothly as possible. Obviously, with preparation, you might find that your nerves might be a little bit less high, I guess you could say.
Yeah, and I think starting with that point, preparation, that's our number one thing to do. Mm-hmm. Prepare before you ask. Try to gather as much information as you can about what you think you're experiencing. You can go on Google, find credible sources that really focus on facts, and then you can relate them to your own life. And that way you have some information that is there, that is in front of you, that you can refer to, that your parents or your guardian can't try to deny, because it's all factual and it's all evidence-based.
Yeah. So like tip one, I guess we could say, is really gather the facts, right? Like sit down with yourself, and that could be like, okay, what am I feeling? So if you think, you know, you're not sleeping well, write that down. I'm not sleeping well. If you say I'm feeling nervous at school, then write that down. You can't focus if you're crying all the time, whatever symptoms you're having, write them down, like, and maybe keep a log of them. And then also what Nadia said about like going online and finding credible sources, you may not find something to diagnose yourself. That's not what we're saying, like go diagnose yourself or anything. But sometimes, you know, our symptoms can fall into a cluster of things that we may see in a TikTok video or an Instagram video or on a Google article, or, you know, something that we can take and say, hey, this might be what's going on. I'm not self-diagnosing, mm-hmm. but at least I think I might have an anxiety disorder or a depressive disorder, or something is going on with me, and this is what my symptoms are. So very factual from credible sources, right, Nadia?
Yeah. And Micheline and I are obviously big supporters of TikTok, and there are incredible therapists on there. And I've seen so many people say, I just got a diagnosis because of this video, or I related to this video. So find even credible people that you can follow, that you trust. Yeah. And if there's videos that you find that you relate to, save them, and maybe you can actually bring them up in the conversation, and you can actually show your parents or your guardian, I really resonated with this video, or these are the exact same symptoms that I'm experiencing. Mm-hmm. It caught my attention, so I wanted to take it a step further.
Yeah. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with Jazz Thornton, but Jazz just posted a video, yeah, I think a few days ago, saying that, you know, the reason she got diagnosed with ADHD was because Lindsay Fleming, another therapist on TikTok, had posted symptoms, and she went on and she was like, oh, this sounds like me. And then she went and got a diagnosis. So yeah, I think there's something very cool about that, you know, online. It's a free resource. Use it to your advantage.
Right. It's super helpful. So yeah, that is tip number one, gather information about symptoms and try to find some evidence and facts that you can use that can really back up what you're trying to say.
Tip number two, what if we set a time to talk, you know, schedule it like an appointment with your family member? That I think is important, because you don't want to, like, your mom's preparing dinner, or, you know, they just got home from work and it was a bad day at work, and you just come in and sit down. They may not be ready for it. They may not have time. It just may not go the right way. So if you say something like, hey, mom, hey, dad, hey, grandma, whoever's really, you know, your advocate, your guardian, your parent, hey, I want to talk to you about something important. When is a good time? That is a wonderful way to tell it.
I like that, even allowing them to have the opportunity to pick the time that works for them. Because when it comes to asking for help, it almost seems like it's never a good time. There's always something that comes up, or there's always something that you deem is more important that you need to focus on. Mm-hmm. So asking the other person a time that works for them, or just setting a time and sticking to it and not letting anything obviously reasonable not come up during that time and not kind of trump that time, I think is great as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's good for accountability as well for yourself. Yeah. One, like we talked about preparation. So what do I prepare? How long do I have to prepare? I think if you say, hey, next Saturday at 10 a.m., I'm going to sit down with my parents and I'm going to talk to them about what's going on with me. Now you know exactly what you need to do between now and then. It just makes it easier. Keeps you like I know everybody doesn't, nobody likes schoolwork, but at the same time, it's something to keep us accountable to make it easier. I remember when I was kind of like struggling with stuff and not sure what was going on with me, I would write down all my symptoms and like I had this running list of like, I can't sleep. I cry all the time. I feel really sensitive. Everything people say makes me really sad. Like, you know, dun, 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 dun. And that wasn't only helpful for like people in my life, but it's helpful when you actually get to that therapist's office as well. And you like already have a list of the things that have been bothering.
Because sometimes when you get to that therapist's office, everything leaves your mind and you don't remember any of your reactions of you or responses. If you have that list, it's so helpful. Mm-hmm.
Nadia, I remember in our first episode, I think the one I interviewed you, you said you saw a therapist, you were still, you weren't 18 yet, right? How did you get your parents to allow you? Did you ask your parents or were they just like automatically supportive?
Yeah, I have like incredibly supportive parents. The time like coming up, maybe it wasn't as known that I had anxiety, but anytime that I talked to them, it was absolutely, let's get the support you need. So I'm very lucky and grateful. And I know in that sense, that was an opportunity or an experience that not everybody has. So it's not something that I can understand, but not something that I can relate to with asking parents. I think same thing though, even if you know your parents are super supportive, just asking for that help is always hard.
Always. I know.
Regardless of the situation, going back to setting a time to talk to your parents, if you are the one setting that time, don't set it too far into the future. Because if you set it like a couple months in advance, that means a couple months of you feeling anxious, a couple months of it being on your mind. The quicker you're able to do it with everything prepared and giving yourself some time, the better you will feel because now it's out of the way and it's the next step. And hopefully they're on your team.
Absolutely. Yeah. Quick. Yeah. I can imagine like waiting a month to talk to your parents about something serious like that. And plus then your symptoms might get worse or, you know, it just might be too much. So definitely like, I would say maybe no more than a week if, you know, and that's just like longest, I would say like a few days, but no more than a week for sure. To gather information, write down your symptoms and set up the time to talk. That's awesome though, that your parents were supportive right off the bat. I wish that a lot of parents
were like that. I was going to ask you, I know you were a little bit older with your experience, but did you still talk to your parents about it?
Well, my mom scheduled my first therapy session for me without me even really knowing because I was going through a really hard time, crying all the time. And she's like, that's it. I set you up with a psychologist. You're going to go see a psychologist. The appointment's set. So if you don't want to go, you can cancel it. And
how did you feel at that time?
I was so grateful. I was so thankful. I think even though I knew I've always studied psychology and stuff, I was so grateful because I still had that level of like shame inside of me asking for help because I was one of those people that was like, no, I can do it. Like I can do it on my own. Like I don't need anybody to help me through this. And obviously that's not true. And I realize now like how much better I could have been much earlier had I gone. But yeah, I was so grateful. I was really lucky that my mom.
So your initial reaction wasn't betrayal or anger. It was
immediate. I was relieved. Yeah. It was almost like she did something that I wanted to do and didn't want to actually physically follow through with, like make the phone call or like do the research. So I don't know why. I think I was just really overwhelmed in that time of my life. So my mom recognized that and she took that step for me.
Wow. That sounds like a great support system, a great mom.
it was really nice. Yeah. I don't know what would have happened if she hadn't done that. Maybe I would have seen a therapist much later on, right, and my life could have been a lot different. So, but yeah, so very important points. We got lucky for sure. We know that's not the case. We're going to talk about, like, we're going to give you more tips about this, but we're also going to talk about what if you don't have supportive parents like ours, and we're going to give you tips for that. But the third tip we have is we recognize that, like, sometimes it's really hard to have a conversation, right? Like, what do you think we could do if we are really struggling to sit down and actually, like, voice our feelings to our parents? What options do we have?
Yeah, I think there's a couple options here. Writing an email. This can sound or look something like, hey, mom, dad, guardian, I want to talk to you about something. Here are the things that I want to talk to you about. That way you kind of have a clear outline. You know how the conversation might go and you can feel a little bit more confident. Another option is if you don't even feel comfortable having that conversation in person, or you want to send an email highlighting everything that you're experiencing and then you need some time because you need time to reflect or you need time to just sit down with yourself because it was really stressful. That's another thing. Sending an email, letting them know this is what I'm experiencing, this is the help I would like, maybe adding some of that evidence and adding some of those sources that we talked about, that research that you found, so that they have time to review it, and then maybe setting a follow-up date where you can both talk about it. Eventually, it'll probably need to be spoken about other than just through email. So if you would rather a response back from email, that way you know what their initial reaction would be, and then reflect and talk about it later, that's a thing too. If your parents prefer text message, if they prefer a written letter, those are options as well.
Yeah, texting, emails, absolutely. Writing letters. That's sending songs sometimes, like, and saying this is how I feel. I think that could be a really creative way. I know people in my life that love doing PowerPoint presentations for, like, stuff for everything, like their family gets together and makes PowerPoint presentations. So I think it would be a really, like, if you're that type of person, make a PowerPoint presentation with all, like, the links. Like, I mean, there's no right or wrong way to do this. If you don't feel like just sitting down and just being emotional around your parents, if that doesn't feel safe or okay with you, then make it, like, a business PowerPoint presentation, or write a letter, email, send a song, send a movie, connect to that character in the movie or lyric, and see if that your parents can understand you a little bit better.
These are all completely valid ways as well. I know when we think we need to talk to our parents, we think, okay, the only option is to sit down and have that initial conversation. This is just as valid. And if you feel more comfortable doing this, there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, thinking about it now, it's probably something I would do. I think I would probably send an email and say, it's really hard for me to talk to you in person because it's still, like, I'm still processing this. I'm still emotional about this, but these are some things I've been experiencing and I would love to talk more when I feel ready.
That's such a good and simple way. And the email can also be, like, maybe you're a person that has a hard time starting conversations, but maybe you still need to talk about it. So you can say, hey, I want to talk to you about something. That could be in an email. And then when you schedule the thing with your parents, the chat with your parents, then you can have, like, the full on conversation. I mean, there's no right or wrong, like, whatever comes to mind, just go for it. Whatever is in your comfort level. If you're asking, is it okay to do it this way? It probably is.
Likely is. As long as it's a respectful way to have that conversation or to start that conversation, it's good. Tip number five. Number four. We're trying to go with five and four together. Do not go in with extremely high expectations. We'll talk a little bit more about this at the end of the episode, how sometimes it's really hard for parents to hear that something may be wrong. It's hard not to internalize it. It's hard not to blame yourself, think you did something, or try to cover it up because, you know, you just want your kids to be okay and living a perfect life. So don't go in with expectations and try to give your parents or your guardians some time to reflect on it instead of asking for an immediate response right then and there. Mm-hmm.
I think that's really an important point, because if we think about it, you know, our parents have feelings too, and your parents may feel guilty for you feeling that way. They may not understand it right off the bat. They may not be enthusiastic. They may be enthusiastic. Like, we have no idea how they're going to respond. And I think a lot of disappointment happens when somebody comes and tells their parents like, hey, I'm feeling depressed. And then they like, the parents are like, they have nothing to say. And I would say, you know, people sometimes need time to reflect on what was said. People need to process those things. I think most parents come from like a really good place of wanting their kids to be mentally and physically healthy. And it maybe just hits them in a way that's like, they weren't expecting it. So just go in, and maybe a helpful tool there, which is like tip number five, you said earlier, they kind of go together, which is probably give them time to reflect on it. So maybe don't expect an answer on that day. Maybe say, hey, I'm going to give you time to think about what I said. What I want is help. And maybe you can think about it and we can follow up.
Exactly, which is going into the next one, following up after you've given them some time to think about it. You can kind of assess the situation based on their reaction. Do you think 1 day, 2 days, is this immediate support and help you need? And the quicker, the better. Then that's something that you'll probably want to push a little bit more. But follow up with them, ask them, hey, after our talk the other day, I'm just following up to see where you're at. How are you feeling? Are we able to get me that help and that support that I need?
Yeah. And I think that's the step where a lot of people miss. From, you know, chats I've had with people with their parents, like, yeah, I'll think about it. We'll get back to this conversation. The conversation never happens. So with the follow-up, schedule a time, just like we did with the beginning, like go back to step one, like gather information again, you know, write down like the reaction, write down your own reaction as you were talking to them, set up a time to talk again. So maybe schedule the follow-up just to make sure that it actually happens.
I like that. I didn't think of that. So at the end of the conversation or at the end of the PowerPoint, you just follow it up with, I'll give you some time. Let's schedule a follow-up.
Yeah. Be it legal, like own your business. Like this is
That's what it sounds like. Business meeting.
It's like, yeah, make it like a business meeting. Maybe it'll be less stressful that way.
To share that this podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. And as an anxious like you listener, you get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/likeyou. As a therapist who struggles with anxiety, I know how important it is to go to therapy. I've been going to therapy for a long time. Even as a therapist, my personal healing work does not stop. BetterHelp makes going to therapy easy with its fully online services. You can chat with a therapist through video, phone, or text. You can schedule your sessions when they're convenient for you. And I love that they offer phone and chat options because let's face it, sometimes even talking is too overwhelming. And having the text option with your therapist can make the difference between attending or missing session. Therapy is more than just a place to talk and vent. It's a place where you get to gain insight into your challenges, develop skills to help you manage symptoms, and do the deeper work to help you process past hurts and live a more fulfilling life. So if you're still on the fence about starting therapy or not, take advantage of this 10% off and check them out at betterhelp.com/likeyou.
So how do we, let's go into like parents that are not support. So the tips we just gave you were, you know, your parents are generally like really supportive of you. It's a scary topic, scary conversation, but we know that this isn't the case with all parents. There are some parents that you're like, there is no way in hell I am going to feel what do we do there?
The number one thing I think is like extremely important and a huge disclaimer is assess your safety. If you think having this conversation is something that's going to end up you being in danger, something that, you know, your parents or your guardians are really not supportive of and might cause some abuse or a physical reaction or even emotional abuse, whatever it may be, try to assess your safety before you go into the conversation and before that happens. There's alternatives to that too, like speaking with professionals, speaking with people at school and having them talk to your parents. But if you feel like you are putting yourself in danger, I think it's not a conversation to have because your safety should always come first.
That is such an important point. It's so important. So with parents that are not safe, maybe the option isn't then to go talk to them directly.
If you don't feel safe, I think that's would be the best thing. Yeah. And like I said, having a conversation maybe with a guidance counselor, telling them what you feel comfortable to tell them. And then maybe if you feel like that's a safe option and them having that conversation with your parents is safe, then going with that, if that doesn't even seem safe.
That's such a good point. Guidance counselors, doctors, people, you know, that, you know, would be able to help or maybe give you a hand in asking for that help.
And asking, and maybe it doesn't have to be your daughter and son came to me and they wanted me to have a conversation with you. It can be, I've been looking at and observing your child and this is what it seems like. And I just wanted to give you a heads up. So you're not really placing the blame on the kid.
100%. That is so, so good. Yeah. I love that. Teachers too. Like usually, you know, like a teacher is with you all the time. Whether it's on Zoom nowadays or in the classroom, they usually can notice behavioral changes, them talk about you in terms of what they've observed to your parent, not necessarily, and not in like a trouble observed, like more like, hey, your daughter or son, they can use some help I'm noticing based on experience.
Exactly. So now focusing more on parents that might not be supportive, but also not dangerous.
Yes. Yes.
How to ask those parents or those guardians for support and help. And I think that goes to the same point. Number one, which was a big one, was talking to professionals. A lot of the time, even with supportive parents, they may take the opinion of a professional a little bit more serious just because they have the education, they have the experience. So if you talk to a counselor, if you talk to a teacher, if you talk to a doctor and you let them know this is what I'm experiencing, and then they go to your parents might say, okay, this is coming from somebody who really understands this. It's time to take it serious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And also what about other family members? So maybe your parents aren't necessarily supportive, but maybe you have a grandparent or an aunt, or maybe even a friend's parents. Like I know sometimes if you don't feel safe with your own parents talking about, you know, emotional stuff, sometimes you have like those best friend's parents that you're just like, they're super cool and you can talk to them.
Yeah.
So maybe talking to them, maybe talking to a grandparent, to an aunt, an uncle, somebody, a neighbor that you trust, somebody that is an adult that has, you know, influence with your parents that they trust, that can help you either facilitate the conversation or maybe start the conversation for you.
Inviting them into the conversation is what you're saying.
Yeah, it could be inviting them into the conversation, or it could be like, I'm going to talk to your parent about, this, because I know that they're really, you know, maybe I'll soften them up for you and then you can have the conversation kind of thing. So that could be an option, but just use the resources you have, whether they're medical professionals, teachers, mental health professionals, neighbors that are trustworthy, family, friends, uncles, aunts, whatever, somebody that's trustworthy, to help you facilitate that conversation, maybe start it for you, or even sometimes have it for you if it is too overwhelming. Because if it is overwhelming, I mean, that's something you can learn in therapy, how to open up and talk to your parents. But if you're on that side of the spectrum where you're like, there's no way I can even do this, but I can do this with this other person because for whatever reason, I feel safer.
Yeah. They're your support person.
They're your support person. I know Nadia and I, before we started recording, we had talked about like, make sure that you do this like alone, like don't involve every single family member in this conversation. Mm-hmm. Have it be like a private, like you and that parent or two parents. But here's the but with this. If you need a sibling to be a support for you, then talk to that sibling first and have them just be like a cushion, like an emotional support human, or have an emotional support pet with you to help you ground yourself. But yeah, it's okay to take somebody in the conversation with you, but not like talk for you or like, you know, don't make it like this dramatic thing. Just have them be there for like, to remind you of the points you wanted to talk about, or to just be there as comfort, if that helps.
Yeah. And I think that raises a good point with ourselves too. When we know it's going to be an overwhelming emotional conversation, try to find some coping strategies that can help you beforehand and immediately after, because you know, it might be heavy and you know, you might need to release or process some emotions. So having a plan for yourself, not just a plan for the conversation, is a good idea.
Mm-hmm. And another thing that might be helpful is like, write down factual information. And this can actually go for supportive and unsupported. Like if you feel like your parents are going to be supportive or unsupportive, doesn't really matter. Just kind of came to mind now. We had talked about it earlier, but the symptoms that we said to write down and what's going on with you, see if you can also write down, when did you notice a change? Like, I used to be fun and bubbly, and now I don't really care to have fun. I used to love going out and skating outside after school. Now I could just like throw the skateboard away. I really don't care. Like, see if you can tell your parents the before and after and ask them, don't you notice a difference in me? Do you notice?
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Piggyback on that point, asking your parents, what changes have you noticed in me? Involve them in the conversation. Let them explore their own thoughts and own things. Maybe they've been seeing things too, and they haven't brought it to your attention. So ask them, have you noticed anything different with my behavior, with my appearance, with things I used to love, my day to day? And that might cause them to reflect too.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that would be like a good, like, oh yeah, maybe if they hadn't noticed something, then they could say, oh yeah, I did know. Now that you mentioned it, I did notice you're not painting as often as you used to, or you're not singing as often as you used to. Yeah. So that could be a really good selling point for you. Another thing is, if your parents are on the fence and they're like, I don't know if I trust therapists, what are you going to go talk about me, or, you know, that fear that a parent might have, most therapists have a free 15-minute consultation or 20-minute consultation. One thing that you can do to help encourage your parents to be okay with it would be to say, hey, let's look for a therapist together. And maybe you can also meet the therapist initially to see if you feel comfortable with them too. That might be a good point. I know I've sold parents on the idea of letting their child come see me.
Come to therapy. Almost all my clients who are under age have brought their parents in for the first consult. I think maybe a couple haven't. Mm-hmm. So if you're thinking that the therapist will think it's weird or that doesn't usually happen, it does. It's actually very common.
Very common. And it doesn't mean that the therapist is going to start having conversations with your parents about what you talk about in session. A good therapist will not like do that. The confidentiality is yours. It should be yours. I can't speak to all therapists, but that's how it should be. So find a therapist that will confirm that. But just, you know, it just means that sometimes when your parents meet someone and they can see that maybe they're a genuine human, then they may feel a little more comfortable saying, you know what? Okay, fine. You can go see this person. And then the therapist can teach them and tell them about like what happens in therapy that is going to be helpful and like what changes they can expect to see. So again, it's like a professional that can help explain therapy and the therapeutic process to your parent much better than you're going to be able to do that.
Right. Without giving out too much information about you.
Yeah.
Maintaining that confidentiality. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I think that's all the points we have for supportive and unsupportive parents, right? I think we covered everything.
I think those are the tips. Yeah, I think, I mean, there's a lot of things, but I think for the most part, this is probably going to be the way to do it. If your parents, after all that, still say no, I think that's the only thing we kind of miss there is if your parents still say, nope, not going to go, like, what do I do now? What do I do now? I would say like, talk to a friend.
Yeah. Support system. We always preach that. Someone you can talk to that you feel comfortable telling things to that are important to you that are going on.
Mm-hmm. Use social media tips from therapists. I mean, we're always going to like tell you.
Promote that.
all the time. We're posting tips for this reason. It's free.
Yeah.
YouTube videos, TikTok videos, Instagram posts of credible therapists and helpers that can, you know, really give you tools to help yourself. Mm-hmm. Keep your own mood journal, your own thought journal.
There's a lot of books.
Books.
There's endless amounts of books that can help if you are able to kind of have an understanding of what you're experiencing. We're not promoting self-diagnosis, but we understand that there is some people who struggle with accessibility to getting a diagnosis or getting treatment. Yeah. If you have a general understanding of things that you're experiencing, getting books to try to either understand yourself more or find tips and tricks to help cope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Books are great. Ask. I think most therapists online that I see them commenting books that they like or posting about books that they think are helpful. Or if they haven't and you're curious, just ask them. Most of the time, they're very open to making a post about it.
Yeah.
So don't hesitate. Yeah, absolutely. And then you can always obviously Google really good books for certain things as well. And you'll see them go on Amazon. Everything's there. I know I have in my, on my Amazon list of, if you go to my link tree, I have books that I use with my clients that I recommend. So definitely go check those out if your parents continue to say no.
There's also a website called, I think it's called therapistaid.com. They have so many worksheets and they have a lot of infographics or just sheets to really explain certain things and how things work and just psychoeducation. They're all free. You're able to download them all. So check them out too.
I use those with my clients all the time and they do them. And so like, do that. Workbooks. There's like DBT workbooks, CBT workbooks, complex PTSD workbooks, all on Amazon. You can go look for them, get them shipped to your house and go step by step if your parents continue to say, or, you know, there's usually free versions you can download online as well. Yeah. If you feel like you know, you don't want your parent or your parents aren't giving you money to buy this stuff. So now time for the parents. If you are a parent and your child comes to you asking for help, how should you react? How should you respond to them? What would the first step be for that?
Like we said a little bit earlier on the episode, it's really hard to hear that like something you love the most, your child, something like your pride and joy is coming with struggles and coming with something they're going through. It's hard not to internalize it. It's hard not to feel guilty. It's hard not to want the best for your kid and kind of deny it and say, well, everyone has depression, everyone has anxiety, and try to push it aside. I would say sometimes that's a normal human reaction to just either deny or convince yourself or try to convince them it's not true. Mm-hmm. The most important thing I would say to do is to try your hardest not to react and to respond in the moment and take that time to reflect before showing your initial reaction, which is obviously not the easiest thing to do. But if your child's coming to you for support, obviously it's escalated to a point that's serious that they think they need to take this step. So trying to put those internalized feelings aside and trying to just make sure that they are heard and you are listening to everything that they're saying.
Yeah, I think that's very important. Not jumping to conclusions, not comparing experiences. Yes. I think a lot of times parents, from what I've heard is they say things like, and maybe they legitimately think, well, what could they possibly be anxious about? Like they don't pay bills. They live in our house. They have food on the table. They have pets. They have family. They have friends. And I get that. And I get where that thought process comes from, but it's not helpful. And it's definitely not an indicator as to whether or not somebody will have a mental health disorder. So I think like you said, Nadia, it's very important to like just sit, reflect and work on just validating the fact that they feel that way. They feel it. You can't change their minds by telling them all those things that they should be grateful for and all of that. So I think validate like their feelings, reflect their feelings, ask them questions about their feelings. When did this start happening? What symptoms are you experiencing? How bad is it? Is there anything we can do to help? That's a really good open-ended questions to help your child open up more and feel safe to discuss these very difficult conversations with you.
Yeah. And I think validating experiences is huge and not just assuming that they will grow out of it or this is a normal teenage or kid response. I saw this post on Instagram and I don't have any kids either, but it just resonated with me. And it was during COVID, we think kids are so resilient. So we tend to ignore them when they're coming to us for help. And it's such a bullshit statement that kids are resilient right now in the world. It's just that they're so young, not always young, but it's easy to ignore their mental health. And we think they'll get past it. We're all going through this. When I was their age, this is what I went through. They'll bounce right back. And like I said, and like Micheline said, they are coming to you for a reason and they are feeling safe to come to you. So maintain that safe environment where they feel like they can come to you again and try your hardest to validate, to ask questions and to understand more of what they're experiencing.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't have to understand why they're feeling it in order to validate them. Validation is literally like, you feel anxious. Okay, I noticed that you feel anxious. You're telling me more about that. Like, what does that feel like for you? Maybe you realize that what they're feeling is depression instead of anxiety. Maybe what you really mm-hmm. like, you know, you can help them name those feelings depending on the age of your child, obviously. But I think like it's often, you know, this feeling of what did I do wrong? Why is my child feeling this in yeah. this way? Like that, where did I go wrong? Did I do something wrong? And I think a lot of times those thoughts are what caused that like initial defensiveness of you can't possibly be depressed, or what are you talking about? Or you don't know what depression is or anxiety is or whatever.
You have a house and you have food. You know, it's hard not to go to that place when you feel like you've provided everything for your child.
Exactly. Exactly. So in that case, it's yeah. like, okay, like just put that down for a minute, like let down the armor. Your child's not attacking you. If they're coming to you, this is the thing that you want to remind yourself. If they're coming to you to talk to you about this, they trust you enough to talk to you about this. Mm-hmm. So it's mm-hmm. very unlikely that, you know, it's your fault. So if they're not coming to talk to you about it, they don't feel safe and you notice a difference, then try to bring up that conversation yourself with them. Maybe they'll feel safe to have that conversation. But if they've taken that step, come to you, I think that's a big win.
Absolutely. If they've taken that step and had that courage to have a conversation with you, they are not faking it, because that takes so much to do. Yeah. You wouldn't go through all of that just to fake it and make it up.
I have a question for that fake it comment, because mm-hmm. a lot of people will say like, well, what if my child is faking it or needs attention? And my question back to that would always be, well, if your child feels like they need to fake a mental health disorder, wouldn't that already say something is off to begin with?
Right. And so, if you think your child needs attention and is seeking attention, then maybe more attention needs to be there and we need to explore
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Without a doubt.
Exactly. So whenever, you know, that's always the question, something is off, they're feeling something that they feel they need to, this is the only way that they're going to get that attention or love or support. So in that sense, no, nobody's just seeking attention. Seeking attention comes from somewhere. And you know, I would not label that could be really hurtful. So just be as supportive as possible. Mental health professionals are typically on your side. Most of the time, we always say like typically or most of the time, because we've heard stories before. Everything. So yeah, we've heard it. So we don't want to be like, oh yeah, like you definitely want to make sure you trust the therapist. But for the most part, doctors and mental health professionals are there to help you and your child have a better life. So hopefully, you know, that could be a conversation that starts off a really good conversation between you and your parent or you and your child, and can help you get closer and have a better relationship in general.
Yeah, absolutely. We hope we covered everything. Just another disclaimer, this is no shame to any parent and no shame to any kid or teenager seeking support. If you're not ready, you're not ready. That's okay. And if you are a parent and you do have a strong reaction, you are human. That is also okay. Mm-hmm. These are just tips on, you know, how to act in the future, how to better yourself in these situations.
Absolutely. We hope that you guys enjoyed this episode of Anxious Like You. Please make sure to leave us a review, screenshot this episode, share it with somebody who might benefit from it. Tag us on social media so that we can reshare. And thanks again. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for tuning in. If you like what you heard, make sure to subscribe and leave a review. Join the Anxious Like You community by following @AnxiousLikeYou on Instagram. See you in the next episode.